Good Wednesday. Today is September the 11th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take some time and visit with Madison Corby. Maddie's the Demand and Market Development Manager with the Ohio Soybean Council. We're going to take some time today and talk about soybean crush in Ohio, what that capacity of crushing for oil is relative to the amount of beans grown, and what it means for biofuels in the state. We'll be back with that after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm visiting today with Madison Corby. Maddie is the Demand and Market Development Manager for the Ohio Soybean Council. Maddie, if you will, give us a little bit of an update. What is the soybean crush capacity in the state of Ohio?
So in Ohio, we have had the ability to crush roughly 56% of our crop. So that's roughly like 168 million bushels crush capacity. Actually, as of this month, that's where our state stands. We see a growth of about, if everything comes to fruition, about another 55 million bushels. If we do a little bit of that math based on our 10-year average of soybean production, we're going to have the in-state crush capacity of around 85 to 90% of our total soybean crop. So mostly driven by the need for vegetable oils here in the U.S.
Well, you mentioned vegetable oils, and obviously biofuels can be made out of a number of different feedstocks. Soybeans, just one of them. So what can we do to make sure that soybeans stay at the top of the list for the processors?
Soybean oil is still holds the largest share of feedstock availability or feedstock used in biomass-based diesel production. I think it sits at around 35% of the feedstock used. I think for farmers, just to continue doing what they do in the sustainability aspect, making sure that we are meeting those market needs for low CI feedstock. And that's something that the checkoff is making sure that farmers are, their messages are getting out there in terms of the practices that they're doing, and showing, marketing, educating everybody on soybean oil as a low carbon fuel, or low carbon or feedstock option for the fuel markets.
Well, with the fuel markets, a lot of this biofuel is going to the East Coast and West Coast, where maybe there's more of a push for the green fuels. But if a farmer wants to have access to that biodiesel for their own operation, what needs to be done to make that more readily available in Ohio?
A lot of the East Coast or East Coast, West Coast states are consuming a lot of our clean fuels production. But I think if a farmer here in the state of Ohio reached out to their fuel provider and was like, I'd like to use biodiesel, that could really make a big impact, especially as soybean oil is still holding a really great share of the biodiesel, like the biodiesel market in particular. It's great for farmers' equipment. It's a greener alternative. It pretty much tracks with regular diesel prices. So really, a farmer reaching out to their fuel producer can make a big impact. And that's just another industry that supports, in a roundabout economy, they're supporting their own farm. There's a lot of good opportunities for our, I'll say, U.S. soybean farmers, but Ohio soybean farmers in particular. If we see even U.S. scale, Ohio scale, the amount of crush capacity that is announced, farmers are going to benefit by increased basis in their area. They're going to have more options in marketing. Ultimately, this need for vegetable oil has been a big driver in kind of helping farmers. So continuing to push the market, to grow the market, a circular economy is going to benefit the farm.
My guest again today has been Madison Corby. She's the Demand and Market Development Manager with the Ohio Soybean Council. Maddie, thanks for your time. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions from biofuels now and talk about fertilizer. An initiative to increase domestic fertilizer production was expanded recently with the announcement of a new project under a USDA program. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Increasing domestic fertilizer production and, in turn, increasing food security in our country. That's the purpose of the Agriculture Department's Fertilizer Production Expansion Program. And as Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack recently told an audience at this year's Farm Progress Show, since the formation of FPEP,
we have to date funded 64 projects within this fertilizer initiative, investing $286 million. These projects are located in 32 states.
And that included updated totals associated with the Secretary's announcement at Farm Progress in Iowa of new FPEP project awards.
We're announcing an additional 7 projects that we're funding in 7 states, an investment of about $35 million in expanded fertilizer capacity. The states of California, New York, Oregon, Tennessee, Wisconsin, Virginia have projects. There's also a project in the state of Iowa.
The program awards grants to help stakeholders and projects on several levels improve domestic fertilizer production.
These projects help to fund an expansion of our fertilizer capacity in the country and also allows us the opportunity to develop new ways of fertilizing to reduce costs and also better understand when and where and how to fertilize. We know that there are a lot of acres out there that probably we may be over-fertilizing. As we develop sensor technology and information, we can do a better job of the fertilizers we have.
Secretary Vilsack used a recent FPEP grant recipient, an Iowa-based project, as an example of what such fertilizer production expansion efforts look like on the ground level.
In Maquoketa, Iowa, there's a facility called the Quality Flow Environmental LLC. It's a company that's going to receive a grant from USDA of $4.7 million. And what they're going to do is they're going to develop and create a thermochemical manufacturing facility that will make fertilizer from dairy waste. There are a lot of dairy operations up there in northeast Iowa, and an opportunity to convert their dairy waste into fertilizer. This will expand the capacity here in northeast Iowa of about 540,000 tons of fertilizer is what they are hoping to be able to produce from this facility.
And expected over 5.6 million tons of increased fertilizer production is expected through the total FPEP projects. And according to the secretary,
we have more projects that we're in the process of reviewing from an environmental standpoint, and sure that over the course of the next 2 months or so, we'll be making additional announcements.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. From my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.